saying is that enough is enough, that 6 months on, people have suffered inordinately. The pace of reconstruction has been very poor and very slow. Since July, the situation has deteriorated dramatically. Approximately 100,000 Palestinians remain displaced with the winter. The temperatures have been absolutely freezing. There are power cuts for 18 hours a day on average, which of course means that there's real problems for heating. The continued non-payment of salaries of public sector employees and the lack of progress on the quest of the national unity government, that's increasing tensions. There are severe restrictions on the movement of 1.8 million residents who are trapped in this tiny coastal strip. Bearing the brunt of this suffering are the most vulnerable, of course, including the elderly, people with disability, women. That's, you know, nearly 1 million children who live in Gaza. They're experiencing unimaginable suffering. They've had three major conflicts in 6 years. Children lack access to quality education. Over 400,000 of them need immediate psychosocial support. You know, the list goes on. Things are absolutely terrible, which is why we chose to speak out as we did.
Now, the statement says the international community must not fail Gaza and that Gaza must be made a livable place. What is the first step to achieving this?
Lift the blockade and allow imports and exports. That's so doable and so important. Of course it's important to reconstruct Gaza, and we have a mechanism in place which, you know, slowly is beginning to work, and, you know, there is movement there. What we have to have happen is the freedoms restored to Gaza so that we don't rebuild a place but keep the majority of the population suffering the indignities of aid dependency. And to do that, you know, they need a disposable income. They need to import things, make something, and export it at a profit. So we need to lift the blockade for both people and for exports and allow the free movement of goods in and out of Gaza and, of course, the free movement of people.
Now, sporadic rocket fire from Palestinian armed groups has reportedly resumed. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, you know, we're not a ceasefire monitoring operation, but yes, I mean, there has been, you know, rocket fire out of Gaza, which, by the way, we always condemn. Some people sometimes complain, particularly Israelis, that UNRWA never condemns rockets. Let me condemn the rockets. We condemn them. And by the way, unlike many people who criticize us for not condemning them, we condemn them inside Gaza during the war. So, yes, it's worrying. You know, why should 6 million Israelis be subjected to barrages of these very inaccurate weapons? At the same time, though, it can't be used as a justification for the collective punishment of 1.8 million people, more than half of whom are children.
Now, Chris, you're a spokesperson for UNRWA. You're speaking on behalf of the millions of people suffering inside of Gaza. What do you think their main message is to people listening to us today?
We've suffered enough. The international community has failed Gaza. We have to realize the vision of making Gaza a livable place and the cornerstone for peace and security in all of the region. With a rising tide of extremism across the Middle East, I mean, by the way, you know, it used to be extremists in Afghanistan and Pakistan people would talk about, well, you know, now it's happening here on Israel's doorstep. And this continued blockade and de-development of Gaza is really not helpful in a region where, you know, we've seen on the television screens the appalling rise of extremism and its impact. So, you know, Gaza is now part of all of that. We must not fail Gaza because the price is very high.